Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Pastor Ken. Let's start out with a prayer, amen.
Dear Father in heaven, how lovingly you have thought of us. How much good you experience again and again. So our hearts are happy, and we go to rest this night full of joy and thanks, because we are your children. Our thanks and joy shall be our service to you day and night. More than this, you do not ask, and in this we will be faithful. We want to be joyful and to be glad for our lives, even when we face dark hours. O Lord our God, we are filled with hope that brings us joy for your future, as well as for the present. With assurance that your salvation is coming, we rejoice in what you give us already today. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Let's play some gospel hip-hop here. Another Beanie Local mix. Let's sit back and enjoy while it's playing. Amen. And then we'll get into the message.
Yeah, I said we ain't invincible. Really, any moment we can die. Better watch what you know. When you say goodbye, then it's all gone. Better ask for forgiveness. Let them rewrite the end of the story. Please don't ignore me. What if you die before 40? Jesus got perforated ribs, so he can terminate the sin. He did to turn away, repent, because it circulate within. God knows all the sin in the sheet. God knows sin is making you get. God knows all the sin is being greedy. God hope it's repenting on peace. The devil be listening, he talking the soul in the heart, and that sin is artillery. Identity. He know you don't know your identity. He aim for your head like you Kennedy. Cause Satan be all in your memory, tricking you mentally. He forever moving cleverly. You wanna keep your name up off the list. Jesus the rocket blocking my shit. Come with me, you will never regret. Heaven is real and hell it does exist. God make new. It's time to acknowledge the truth. It's sin and put us where we at. And we the reason that it crashed. You know the truth of where it started. When Adam made the fruit, he disobeyed God. And now we do it too. That's why Jesus shed his blood. It should have been us, it should have been us. Took a place cause he loved. Repent of your sins and give it up. I said we ain't invincible. Really, any moment we can die, better watch what you're doing. When you say goodbye, then it's all gone. Better ask for forgiveness. Let them rewrite the end of the story. Please don't ignore me. What if you die before 40? Jesus got perforated ribs, so he can terminate the sin. He did to turn away, repent, because it circulate within. God knows all the sin in the sheet. God knows sin is making you busy. God knows all the sin is being greedy. God hope it's repenting on pity.
Let me lead you in prayer, we can pray, sweet. Say, forgive me, Lord, I ain't gon' fake. Feeling like my mind gon' break. I keep a plan B in the cut. But if I gotta die, I'll be done up. It's hell gon' be hotter than summer. Then I repent, no buffer, huh? Lord, I know you couldn't leave us alone. But you loved us so much, you sent down your home. Fully God, fully God, fully man, Christ, you both. Light up the road, God, he ain't sorry, he tryna forgive. This ain't no story, he died for real. And I told him that Jesus got a better deal. Sinning like plastic, God like steel. That pleasure in sin for a season, but that pleasure is turning to treason. Cannonball, you better put your knees in. Cause the devil, he busting and squeezing. He don't play fair, he play dirty, dirty. A roaring lion creeping in the sticks. Appear as an angel on surface, but he wanna do damage on purpose. But God, he wanna love like Keisha. He went out of his way just to reach you. When Jesus, he used, he keep him. Pray you hearing the truth, you speaker. I know where God can take you. Let me lead you in prayer, we can pray quick. Say, forgive me, Lord, I ain't gon' fake. Feeling like my mind gon' break. I keep a plan B in the cut. But if I gotta die, I'll be done up. If hell gon' be hotter than summer, then I repent, no buffer, huh? Lord, I know you couldn't leave us alone. But you loved us so much, you sent down your home. Fully God, fully God, fully man, Christ, you both. Light up the road.
I don't got all the answers. I don't think I'm better than anybody. All I know is I used to be a sinner running away from God. Now I'm a sinner running to him. I knew I needed Jesus, and he changed my life, he changed my heart. Listen, the answer is right there. It's been in our face the whole time. Don't prolong, don't wait no longer. Put him in your heart. He'll forgive
you. You want some better things.
Yo, bro, what's good? be working late. Frustrated sometimes at how we communicate. Trying to make it like it was when we were kids. Simple, but it's difficult and we just trying to live. Trying to make it. She say that she can't take it. Growing up by the minute, in an hour she won't feel it. Is this the ending? Is it finished? Can we make it work? All this romance and love songs just seem to make it worse. Empty gestures to try and bring back our yesterday, week, month, year. Baby, are you still here? Please, I know that this is not what you expected. And the picture perfect image you imagine ain't reflected. I accept it, I made mistakes with your heart. I was gone, you were distant, guess that's how we grew apart. But I want you, no, I need you, and I mean that. I don't wanna lose you, I hope you see that. To talk, I say we do. She says that we're not friends, and I just say it's you. We feel like strangers, but what stranger is this feeling? Love never leaves. If it's true, hope it soon makes an appearance.
I know love don't feel that same way you used to. Strangers in the same bed, I know you're questioning about, cause I'm noticed. It's all on your face. And lately, we've been so distant.
presence, he knows you. Repent today, trust in him like a parachute. I don't deserve it, but God forgave me too. God loves us, Jesus died for us on the cross so that we could live. He is my boss, laid down his life for us, rose again in 3 days. I pray and read the Bible in my room. Take time in his presence, he knows you. Repent today, trust in him like a parachute. I don't deserve it, but God forgave me too. God loves us, Jesus died for us on the cross so that we could live. He is my boss, laid down his life for us, rose again in 3 days. I was falling straight into the pits of hell. God called me, now I am well. Thoughts of sinful things, wasting time playing games all week. I know he loves me so much. God gave me family, I thank him that I breathe. He helped me through.
Take the straight and narrow path, which ironically is in the Bible. if you start to slide, give a little whistle and always let your conscience be your guide. It's nice, a little song, but it's wrong. A conscience is a gift of God to every person that helps us distinguish between right and wrong. The conscience can be compared to a compass. When you hold a compass, a needle points to the magnetic north. In the same way, we are born with a moral compass that points to the right things to do. Your conscience doesn't make you do right or wrong. It just lets you know when you're about to do wrong, and it makes you suffer when you have done wrong. But the Bible teaches that the conscience alone is not an invaluable guide. Through repeated sin, our conscience can be defiled, damaged, and even destroyed. For example, I read that a Cambodian dictator, Pol Pot, murdered between 2 and 7 million of his fellow people. He ordered the murder of everyone who wore eyeglasses, among many of other senseless killings. Historians say that his evil deeds were even greater than those of Hitler and Stalin, if that is possible. Yeah, just before he died in 1998, he told a reporter that he had clear conscience. The truth is it wasn't clear. It was seared. It was completely destroyed by an unrepentant and unforgiving sin. John MacArthur said this about the conscience. It is a silent witness within, always ready to make a detailed case in the soul's courtroom. This is one of the reasons our culture is dominated by alcohol and drug abuse. Sinners are desperate for anything that will silence the cries of conscience burdened by a lifetime of sin. Our conscience needs to be informed and trained through Scripture. As we learn who God is and what His holy standards are, our conscience accuses us of how sinful we are. Part of God's work in regeneration is to bring His holy law to bear on our hearts, so that we despair of any way of trying to justify ourselves. We fully realize we stand truly guilty before a holy God. So how can our guilt be removed and our conscience be cleansed? That's what the writer of Hebrews goes into great detail to tell us in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. The inspired object lesson in the old tabernacle reflected a future in reality. Have you ever wondered why did God command them to build a tabernacle and give them all those sacrificial instructions? If he knew there would be a new covenant, God was using these things as an object lesson to prepare them to receive Jesus when he came. We find that in verse 9. In verse 9, this is an illustration for the present time. An illustration is simple. The Greek word here is parable, from which we get our English word parable. It means place beside. It means to compare and contrast two things for the purpose, illustrating or clarifying something important. A parable is often defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Bible is full of them. Jesus told many parables using many earthly things like seed, splinter, sheep, and servants to illustrate spiritual principles and promises that we desperately need to understand. The writer of Hebrews tells us that what the tabernacle, the priests, and the sacrifices were all about. They were an object lesson. They are an illustration. They are a parable. They were intended to be earthly glimpse of a heavenly reality for both Israel and for all believers who followed thereafter. In verses 1 through 5, now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. It was the first room where the lampstand and a table with a consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which has a golden altar of incense and gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and stone tablets of the covenant. Above the Ark was the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. For us, that looks like quite a bit of detail, doesn't it? But for its original Jewish audience, this was nothing. This was just skimming the surface. What he's saying is this. The thing that I'm describing is not the point. the point, what they point to. The point is what they illustrate for us. He's saying this in all divine design by a divine designer. So let me clarify. That's not, he's not saying these things were useless or unnecessary, not at all. He gave these to his people, and God came up with this. God designed every meticulous detail of how he was to be worshipped and how the people were to approach him. In fact, did you know that there were only two chapters in the Bible devoted to creation? But 50 chapters in the Bible focus on the tabernacle. That's God's way of telling us what's really important to give our attention to. The tabernacle and the sacrificial system were the most important. Why? Because they were an earthly illustration of heavenly reality. God was very specific about everything was to be constructed and carried out. One of the points the writer of Hebrews is making to his audience is that you should have already known this. If you read the scripture carefully, you should have seen this coming. Everyone, once in a while, I'll pick a book out of my library that I read decades ago, and when I was a younger pastor, I've always been a guy who writes notes and thoughts in a book as I go along. And I enjoyed reading when I was thinking as a young pastor. Most of the things I still agree with my younger self. But you know what strikes me even more than when I wrote is what I didn't write, what I didn't notice. There were things now that pop out of the book now after 30 years of ministry never hit my radar back then. I read that book so much differently now because I'm not the same person. I've grown and matured through the years of study and experience. That's what the writer is saying here. He's saying you should go back and reread God's instruction for how the tabernacle was to be constructed. If you did, you see that it was all meant to be temporary. It was all meant to be fulfilled by something better and something greater. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, he made this very point. They serve a sanctuary that is a copy of shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Moses was given an exact pattern of what he was supposed to build. God didn't want people to use their creativity in designing worship spaces and worship services. God didn't want their creativity. He wanted their obedience. He said, this is exactly what I want you to build, and this is exactly what I want you to do. Why? Because it was an object lesson. It was a parable. It was an illustration of something to come that was much better and much greater. And what was that? Jesus. Everything describes about the tabernacle and all its furnishing in verses 1 to 5 points to Jesus. Did you know that? Someone said the tabernacle is a giant portrait of Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look in the tabernacle, you can see him. We don't have time to deep dive in any facet of the tabernacle and how it relates to Jesus, but I want to briefly show you some of the highlights. I have a little diagram of dimensions of the tabernacle and how everything was set up. The courtyard was 75 feet by 150 feet, and the walls were made of pure white linen. The courtyard had only one gate, one entrance, and one way in the presence of God. Sound familiar? I am the way. The bronze and altar and basin. The altar was used for daily and weekly sacrifices for the sin on one behalf of the people. The basin was used by the priests to wash their hands and even their feet. The altar was a picture of Jesus who gave his life on the altar of the cross as once for all sacrifices for sins. The basin is a picture of Jesus who cleanses us on a daily basis through the washing of his spirit. He sacrifices cleanses us from the penalty of sin, and his ongoing cleansing deals with the presence of sin. The tabernacle tent of meeting, two rooms. First room, the holy place, all priests could enter and serve. A second room, the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could enter once a year on the Day of Atonement. A holy place, three pieces of furniture. The lampstand made with pure gold, and seven branches with cups at the end filled with the purest olive oil. The table of showbread made of aka wood, covered with gold every Sabbath. 12 loaves were made and brought in and placed on the table before the Lord. Loaves represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Altar of Innocence, made of acacia wood covered with gold, represented the prayers of the people going up. What matters most is not the furniture, but what they point to. The lampstand pointed to Jesus because he said in John chapter 9, verse 5, I am the light of the world. The table of the showbread pointed to Jesus because he said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. The altar of incense represented prayer and pointed to Jesus because Jesus always lives to intercede for us. The Holy of Holies, the Ark of Covenant, and the Day of Atonement, the altar of incense was moved in. Within the Ark of the Covenant were three things: a golden jar of manna, gold. God miraculously fed the children of Israel with manna that came from heaven every day. What a perfect picture of Jesus. He has come down from heaven to provide everything we need. Aaron's staff that budded Aaron, Moses' brother, was the first high priest. His staff was just a dead stick, and then one day it came to life and started to sprout out leaf buds. Jesus was dead but came back to life. The stone of tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. No one can perfectly keep the law. James says if you break one commandment, you break them all. So Jesus came and lived in the perfect life we could never live, fulfilling the law perfectly so that he could be the perfect spotless lamb sacrificed for us all. So don't miss the point here. All of this is an earthly parable, a picture, an illustration of heavenly reality. This is all about Jesus. That's what makes the Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 14, so fascinating and rich. And the word Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt equals tabernacle among us. Today the temple of God is found in us. The church, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us personally and corporately as a church. In the old covenant, God had a temple for all his people, and under the new covenant, God has people for his temple. So why is this so important? Remember, these Jewish Christians were considered forsaking their faith in Jesus and going back to Judaism, back to the temple, back to the human priest, back to the daily yearly sacrifices. The writer is saying, why would you do that? It is now obsolete. It served its purpose. The picture has come to life. The illustration has become reality. You now have a Jesus on all those things represent. So why would you want to go back to the picture when you have the real thing? Every grandparent I know will always show pictures of their grandchildren. But no grandparent I know would rather hold a picture than hug their grandchild. He says, you know, you have the real thing. You have the reality of all those things pointed to, so don't you dare go back. It's not only dumb, it's dangerous. How? That leads us to the second point. The insufficient ministry. Priestly sacrifices never cleared a guilty conscience. They were considering going back to the daily, weekly, yearly sacrifices. He explains why this is both dumb and dangerous. When everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry, while only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way in the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying to the time of the new order. Amen. Well, I hope you got something from this message today. Well, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you got a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. Excuse me. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, if you said that prayer, we want to welcome you into the welcome the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. Press the 1 key, and I will bring you on so you can tell the world that you shall be the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior tonight. Amen. No, you're not supposed to repeat the coughing sound, too. Okay, that was an accident. Okay, let's take some calls here. 111. You're on air.
Would you give my testimony?
Yeah, you can give your testimony.
I testify that Ken Fishman is a dickhead, and he needs to be fucked.
Yeah, okay. All right. 289, you're on
air. 289. Oh, sorry. I didn't know you had me on. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm hanging on.
Yeah, that's great. So what are you doing? Anything interesting?
Oh, I've just been really busy with the Hebrew course. And I'm starting a study in the Book of Revelations with the university I'm with. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you on, Pastor Kent. What did you think about the message?
I thought it was very informative.
Thank you.
Very well done.
All right. Yes, Kenny, that's Pastor Kent. He's doing a Hebrew course, okay, and he's getting a lot from it. Ain't that right, Pastor Kent?
Well, yeah. I mean, just one thing is the commandment, thou shalt not kill. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be thou shalt not murder, which puts a whole different light on the commandment.
Yes. Yes, it does. It surely does. There's a lot of things that in Hebrew that changes because of... Okay, it's translations from the Greek, okay? The Greek was not a very good translation for Sanskrit.
Actually, I know what you're saying, but actually we have, in Hebrew, we have the Old and New Testament in Hebrew, and after I finished the course, I'm going to be doing a comparison on different versions of the Bible and how they smashed the original Hebrew.
Okay.
Thou shalt not kill is one example, but there are many, many, many in the Bible that, because in Hebrew, the word means something, and when we convert it to English, we put in our own thoughts there. But Hebrew is very clear on what the word means. For an example, Adonai, which means Lord of Lords, and we translate it as Lord, which is not even close to what it means.
No.
And so it's like a lot of Bible translations have really destroyed the meaning of the word of God. And that's wrong on many aspects, because if you look at Revelations, in Revelations 21, where it says, thou shalt not add or take away from this book. So,
right.
You know, I understand in English where it says, Abraham's son, or the son of Abraham. Now, we put the word of in there, but in Hebrew, it's more of a meaning, the son of this person. You see what I'm saying? And when we convert it into English, we take away the context of what it's supposed to be. And it's wrong. Way wrong.
Right. Right. Well,
and,
I mean, it's a basic illustration, okay? Or it's translation of the original, okay? It's a basic understanding that goes for us to speak English, okay? Don't speak all these other languages, you know? It's a way to give us something to look into.
Yeah, I can see why you say that. I can. It's like some translators use simile. Some translators use, they take out the personal stuff. Like when it says daughter of, they say Jerusalem. And that's not what it says. It says daughter of so-and-so from Jerusalem, and that's not the way it's supposed to be translated, and that's wrong. And this is why a lot of the reason why so many Christians don't understand what the Bible's about, because they're reading renditions that have destroyed the honest in holiness of our Savior.
Amen.
And it's wrong.
Well, we got some people here, Pastor Kent. Let's bring them on and see what they have to say. 111.
Hi.
You're on air.
Yo, what's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Look here, man. My name is Jamar Chase, and I actually got in a fight after church a couple weeks ago with the deacon because, you know, they keep saying that Jesus was black, and from what I was told, Jesus, his religion, Jesus was a Jew, and what I was saying was trying to say they want to listen to me. That there's no way Jesus was black. You know what I'm saying? But I go to a black church, and they don't want to hear nothing. And I was trying to say he grew up Jew, but there's no way he could have been black. And I because the Virgin Mary, no way she was having sex with a black dude. She was white, therefore Jesus was white. And I want to know what Pastor Ken thinks. I want to know what Sugar Cookie thinks. I want to know what you guys think and find out, was Jesus black or a white boy?
Well, to tell you the truth, okay, it says in the Bible that Jesus, his color of skin was like copper and his hair was like wool. So you tell me what that translates to you.
Copper and wool. But still,
and his hair was like wool.
But was the Virgin Mary a white broad or black? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I believe she was of color, okay, because, you know, she was Jewish, okay, living in the Middle East, okay, okay, so her color was not exactly white either.
Okay. So you're saying Virgin Mary was kind of mixed, and either she got it on with some black dude, or like God is black, got her pregnant because she's a virgin. Very confusing. I don't want to know what Sugar Cookie think about it, because I know up there in Canada he have a lot of knowledge, and he might know, like, you know what I'm saying? Does he think that virgin was a black girl Jew, or like a white girl, you know what I'm saying, and got it on with, but like a brother, and then like Jesus was like mixed?
Okay. Well, I believe the Holy Spirit is the one that impregnated Mary. Okay, so... And it doesn't say that the Holy Spirit took form of any color.
Oh, okay. And I just have one more question. I was wondering if you could ask Sugar Cookie, does Charm share a bed with him, or do they have to sleep in separate beds up there in Canada, because she has like dudes coming in and out sharing her bed? They all get it on like in a group thing, or you know what I'm saying? Or is his boyfriend come over, or is he sleeping in his own bed? I wonder if that Sugar Cookie, you know, what do you think of that wife Charm? Is she still, you know, hitting the sides with other dudes? What's going on up there in Canada?
You guys can be so rude.
Yeah, really. I mean, what does that have to do with the questions you've been asking? Okay.
Well, because, you know what I'm saying, the Virgin Mary, they say she was a virgin. But, you know what I'm saying, and like Kent Hoffer saying this charm, like a good woman and that. But I don't know, man. I don't think none of these women is trustworthy. I think you got to question the Bible and this Virgin Mary. I don't think she was a virgin. And Kent Hopper, don't trust that wife, man. I had a lot of girlfriends that be, I don't know, man, messing around. I'm just saying, keep an eye on them, you know, especially that Furtado, you know what I'm saying, that Tony Farrar, don't trust him neither. All right. Well, my piece is here. I got to go. Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay. Wow, that was interesting. Okay. 111. Let's hear what you have.
Yeah, man, you just proved it, man. Mary was white, but God is a black man, and they had a mulatto kid.
Okay.
That's why Popeye's Chicken is number one restaurant in the USA, man.
Yeah? Okay, 111. You're on the air with Pastor Ken and I.
I have a question for Kent.
Okay.
I was told that if I continued to have lesbian sex, that I was going to hell, and the East Coast of California was going to get hit with a tsunami. And I was wondering Kent's thought on that. Will there be tsunamis because of gay marriage and gay sex?
Again, immature questions, not even worth an answer.
Well, how can you mispronounce? How is it called tsunami, though? It's T-S-U-N-A-M-I. It's a Japanese word. The T is silent. How do you get Tsunami from tsunami? Hello? Kent, are you there?
You have a relevant question to today's lesson or anything that Pastor Kent was talking about?
This is relevant. I mean, not about the subject, but it's relevant about gay marriage and the... But, you know, since homosexuality is a sin, and you hear a lot of doomsday guys say that there are going to be a lot of disasters and stuff.
Well, I think, see, the Bible was talking about man laying with man and stuff like that, but the text that they were taking it from was about rape, okay? Masters owning slaves, okay? And to do it like that, okay, is abomination to the Lord. I don't think they were talking about love, actual love, between another man and a man and a woman.
So if I have sex with a, let's say, for example, I have sex with Charm, then I won't get hit with a Tsunami?
No.
Kent, you were the one who said, you called it Tsunami, so, yeah. You don't have an answer for that. Come on. You're a pastor. You're supposed to know this.
Okay. Well, I guess he's not going to talk on this subject because he doesn't feel he has to say anything about it. Okay. Yeah, he's already talked about what he believes and what he thinks. Okay, so... We'll
squash
it. Okay, 111, you're on
the air. Hello, Kenny.
Hello, fake Pastor Kent.
Hi, Kent.
Hello, my sons and daughters. I want you to bury your hatchet. And since we are all Christian men, women, and gays, I think now it is appropriate for me to bury the hatchet. Do you agree with me, panel of Kenny?
Yeah, yeah. It's good to bury the hatchet, yes.
Okay. Who is still on the line?
I'm here.
Pastor Kent, Ashley.
Hello, Brother Kent.
Hello.
So, we finally get to talk on a platform. Do you hate me?
I don't hate anybody. That's not Christian.
To you, that is what I was about to say. You see, in Canada, we are people of peace. We are not war mongers like our friends to the south, eh? But I wanted to apologize for any inconvenience, discomforts, displeasures that I have caused you. Now, yesterday, and forever, amen.
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 I am being the bigger man here, if you will. apologizing. I did not come up with that saying, but it was brought to me by one of my flock members, so I thought I would use it today. So if anybody else is on the line, I want to let them speak if they want to speak, because my apology has been made and known to the pubics.
Well, I think that was a very great and apology. And it takes a real man to do that. So thank you for doing that. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, my daughter. Kitty.
Okay, we got a telephone person calling from 269. Let's bring them on and see what we have. 269, you're on.
Hey. Ken, you finally took my call. You've been hanging up on me every single time I've called for like the past month. What's up with that? This is Pastor Veal, by the way.
I've never seen your number. This is the first time I've seen your number. I haven't hung up on anybody.
Well, you've hung up on me like 50 times. It's pretty crazy. You think you'd want to take your manager's call, especially after all that money Benjamin Buford Fontaine has been giving you to run your ministry.
He hasn't been giving me anything.
He told me he gave you $30,000 the other day. He said he wired it to you on Venmo.
He didn't give me anything.
Well, I hope you're not lying to the board of directors here, because that's a lot of money. And remember that I saved you from having to give up your show a while back, even though you probably should have taken a step aside because things were not going well. You should be thanking me. You know, I've worked really hard to build this show up.
Right. So you say.
And I hear Pastor Kent is on the line, too.
Yes, he is.
I am.
Kent, how's your show going? I haven't heard much from it recently.
No. I post all the time, and... We're on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same number as before.
I might have to join you there if I'm not banned from the show, because I was fairly certain you banned me.
I don't ban anybody. I just block bad comments. I don't ban anybody.
So true. I was nervous you banned me because you... You banned Pastor Leroy a while back, isn't that right?
Pastor Leroy and her are fine.
Okay, good. You called him a fake pastor. Is he a fake pastor? I need to know right now on air, because he's asked me to represent him as well.
What's between him and I is between him and I, and you know what? Nobody needs to know. In answer
Amen.
To your question, yes, I know he is. And with that, I'm not going to comment no more.
Amen. The seal of the confessional booth, so to speak.
What about Dr. N? Is he still on your show? I like his music and would like to listen in if Dr. N is on your show.
I have no idea who he's talking about.
Doctor,
the rapper.
He's talking about Pastor Kent. He calls him Dr. N.
The colored rapper. That is correct.
He's still there periodically, but he has a busy life. He has no time for ministry.
He's busy in the pink room. Isn't he? That's where he records all his hot beats, his sick hot beats.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Wall, sorry. I think he needs our prayers, because last I heard from Doctrine, he had taken a lot of Quaaludes and punched a hole in the pink wall.
You know what? You need to stop talking bad about people. You're supposed to be a pastor. That's not a good example, is it?
Well, I'm offering prayers to him, Pastor Kent, and I think you should do the same. I've just heard that he punched a hole in the pink wall, and he needs our prayers right now. He's going through a rough time.
Ginger Atulin. I'm sorry.
Pastor Ken, can you pray for doctrine, please?
Yeah, I pray for everyone, okay? I pray that doctrine, okay, sees the light, okay, and may God put his hands on his shoulders, touch him in the ways that he needs to be touched, okay? May he see the Lord for what he is, okay? Amen.
See, Kent, you should have just offered up a quick prayer like that when I brought it up. Instead, you had to be salty. I don't know why. I think you still hate me, even though I did really great things with you and your ministry, and I miss it dearly. But I guess we can't get what we want in life sometimes, right? Right?
Okay.
I would like to say a prayer for Dr. N.
Yes, please, Abba, by all means.
Father, Elohim, Yahweh, Yeshua, we pray that Dr. N sees the light, the way, and the truth, and that his Father, who art in heaven, and hallowed be thy name, and that thy kingdom will come, especially for Yahweh, Baruch Ata Adonaya Elohini Melukha Olam. Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Amen. I'd like to also say Alhamdulillah for Dr. N.
Kenny.
Hello?
Kenny, I heard that in the background. Why are you doing that during a prayer? Do you not take this job seriously?
Yeah.
Well, you need to start not waxing the willy, so to speak, on air as your manager. I have to tell you that's just. I heard it, Ken.
I don't do things like that.
Ken, I heard it. It's okay to admit it. We're all men here. We're all men here, Ken.
Never you doing that.
Sorry, I don't do that. I'm an actual minister.
Yeah,
televangelist.
Yeah.
Kent, I think Ken needs our prayers. He's being very antagonistic right now. It's just so hard for me to deal with sometimes, especially after a busy day ministering in the ministry, you know. I know that you feel the same way with your flock. You know, sometimes they just give you garbage, so to speak. And as a manager, too, of Ken Fishman, sometimes I have to put myself in precarious situations and then call out bad behavior where I see it, such as what I just heard, which was a disgusting display on a godly radio show. Do we have any more
callers,
Ken?
That was you, you know that was you. You know you whack
it
off.
Wasn't.
That was you whack
it off. Wasn't. It was
yes,
not
it was.
Me whacking off, I can assure you.
Yeah, it was you whacking off.
I don't do that.
You're a whacker.
I haven't done
You're
that in 6 years.
Kenny,
I haven't done that in 6 years. As your manager, you know that, and you're becoming very sexualized right now. I don't know why you're being sexual on a godly radio
show. You're a whacker.
I think we need to focus more on God here. Kent, are you hearing
me? Yeah,
can
you
believe
need to quit whacking. Yeah, quit whacking.
Kent.
Yeah.
Ken, as your manager, I have to ask you to take more phone calls because I think you're intentionally trying to hold up the line because you're going to cut and run here.
Okay, 111, you're on here.
Hello?
Hello?
It's Grover Washington.
Yeah, Grover, how you doing? Tell Patrick, if you ever quit whacking.
I'll let the man do what he needs to do. I mean, men have needs, but that's not why.
Not whacking.
I had a question for Professor Kent. He's a professor of Jewish and Hebrew studies. What's the name? Do you ever do an online course? Because I'd like to do an online course, too, about the Hebrews.
Well, it's kind of hard, Grover, when you haven't got a place to live and you haven't got internet. That's kind of hard to do because it's all online. If you got a place to live and you have the internet, Biblical Hebrew Institute is what it's called.
I got the 5G internet and the Wi-Fi, so I got no problem with that. I stayed down at Haven for Hope in San Antonio, Texas, and even though I live in the same city as Ken, Ken won't let me in. Ken won't do any good for me, except up 2 Christmases ago, he offered complimentary blowjobs to all the homeless men down at the shelter. But he hasn't done that since 2021. So we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of the suck job, and the balls need drained. Amen.
Never happened. Dreams.
Well, I think that's a lie.
No, I know it's a lie that you're spewing, because I've never been down there doing that kind of behavior ever.
You said it was a Christmas gift for the homeless man.
Goodbye, Grover.
Ken, is it true that you did that?
No, I didn't do that. 111, you're on here.
Hello, Ken.
Hello.
Ken, why do you think your community is petty?
Because they are.
But why?
Don't have to explain it. This is.
Do you know why everybody boycotts you?
Yeah, because I want to play Beanie music, okay, and get a friendly message. That's about why.
You also want to make everybody listen to Wanda. You also like to hold off calls for the longest time.
He also rejects the fact that I'm his manager, even though I'm getting paid by Benjamin Buford Fontaine, who owns GRM.
Zeal,
you're
harboring a volatile asset to your ministry. Ken has been violating your ministry's code for months now.
He's been violating the contract for months now, and we have thought about Rosemary, myself, and, you know, Benjamin Buford Fontaine. We've thought about litigation in the past, but we don't think it would be good for Kenny. We think it, with his health troubles, it would put him through too much, unfortunately. So we've decided not to pursue that course of action. But we're hoping that Kenny can get this show back on track and that perhaps this can become, and this would do really well for us, the Kent Hopper, Kenny Fishman show, you know? Maybe someday we can have Ken give back Kent's certification of pastoral degree, and Dr. Kent can become Pastor Kent again. What do you think about
Lord,
that?
Do you have any callers?
Yeah, 111.
Uh-oh.
It's one like boss hog.
Yeah, I slept with Charm in Susie DeBay, and there ain't gonna be no tsunami.
210-894. You're on
the air. Assalamu alaikum, Kenny.
Hey, Adnan. How you doing?
Where is this Muslim show you promised?
I don't know. It was supposed to come on at 2 a.m., but Blog Talk won't let it go on.
I am ecstatic to hear both you and Pastor Kent have embraced Islam.
Kent didn't embrace Islam.
Yes, he has. Kent, would you like to take Shahada on the air tonight?
Not even worth a comment.
Where is Pastor Kent, the real one?
Abba, Father, Elohim, Yahweh, Yeshua.
Please repeat after me. I attest there is only one true God.
Well, obviously nobody wants to do that, so move on.
No.
Got any callers?
No. Oh, you are the what we call laflaf in Arabic. You say I'm not a Muslim. Where is he?
Johnny.
I hear him speaking. I have nothing to say.
Prove that I am not a Muslim.
His silliness is not needed here, though.
I think you've taken one too many cocks to the head.
I think you have too.
And it...
Hey, Tony, can you
judgment.
Shut the fuck up, please?
I was brought in as a caller just like the rest of you, so I think I can roll my mouth just as much as the rest of you.
I didn't hear anyone announce you, number one, and you are lying, number two, and prove that I am not a Muslim.
Well, you can be Muslim all you want. You just can't have some of the discussions you have on here, plain and simple.
So you know all types of Muslims?
I don't need to know a Muslim to say that you might be a Muslim.
Can you name any different sects or schools of thoughts like Hanafi, Salafi?
I've never said that I studied being a Muslim. I've never said I knew any Muslims. I just said that some of your conversations are not needed on this show.
Were any of your male prostitute customers Muslim?
Could be. Who knows?
You couldn't tell.
But wouldn't that be a major sin for them? Don't y'all stone people for that?
You could tell if I'm a Muslim, but if you're screwing a guy, you can tell if he's Muslim.
Hey, you're
Aren't
the one asking the questions.
Aren't snakes considered filthy animals in Islam?
He is the worst of creatures.
Yeah, so if this is a Muslim show, then why is the pig on?
This is a Muslim show, sir.
Kent
sir.
Hopper, this is the time to come to Allah.
Oh, misgendering piece of shit.
Why is Kent so quiet?
Well,
because this is my show now. Kenny, let me talk. All of you faggots and your silliness need to get the hell off of my show, or I'll give all of you HIV.
I love Cartman impersonations. They're so funny.
Well, this is the real deal, boyfriend. So quit stealing my act. Or else.
Dr. Kent, speak up. Stop playing with your stepson.
Kent doesn't involve himself in such silliness.
That's right, Tony, I don't.
What do you think about gay people there?
That's really not what the show is about. It's to discuss what people think about gay people. This show is open
to
hear
what Dr. Kent says. He's a new Muslim. He is a new Muslim.
Kent is not a new Muslim.
Kent is a Muslim.
He hates gay
people,
but he has sex with doctrine. And apparently lived as a gay man for 2 years. Does that answer your question?
Kent, is this true?
Gabe, look.
Okay.
Kent, do you still
five,
have a taste for the cock?
256, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. I was wondering, with the festive season coming upon us, will you be doing any Santa call-in shows in December?
No, probably won't be doing Santa call-in shows, no.
Well, why not?
Because Santa don't live here? Santa's not on this show?
Wait. Sounds pretty great. That's some Grinch attitude, if you ask me.
And the Grinch is one of the number one Christmas characters of all time. Imagine that.
Yeah. All right. 256 drop. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say goodnight. Boys and girls.
There he goes. Running.
Have a good night. I want to say, give a shout out to Juan from Alabama.
That's right. You get off. This indeed is show, faggots. Get the hell off. We're up to throw eggs at you. Yeah. You take that.
I love that, Ashley. You do a very good Cartman impersonation.
Yeah, he does. Actually, does a good girl impersonation, too. Okay? I'm going to give a shout-out to Walton, Alabama, and Tim Folk. God bless them. Okay, keep listening. Maybe I'll do a show tomorrow night. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Yep, tune in and see. Bye-bye. God bless.